Hi, everybody. Welcome to We Gotta Talk. Do you ever feel like you're just screwing everything up in your life? And I don't mean that necessarily, you know, in the financial way or the relationship way, but just like energetically, like the more you try to fix something, the worse it gets. This week's guest is for you, times a thousand. And it's for me too, because I need to let go of some of that control as well. This week's guest is Elise Bassine. She's a spiritual mentor and breathwork practitioner who's appeared in Oprah Magazine. She has a master's degree in counseling psychology, certifications in both social emotional learning and mindfulness. And we're talking all about the need we have to fix everything and why we need to stop doing that in order to get what we really are looking for, which is happiness and peace. Elise and I really dig into this concept of divine unfolding, which is essentially a like release into the universe, you know, a leaning into rather than a fighting against that I think so many of us are doing. We talk about all kinds of things. We talk about why you should stop putting your energy toward fixing things, how to get past betrayal, breaking trauma responses. A lot of times we're reacting to current situations based on things we've experienced in the past, how to pull back and find a higher perspective on something, healing ancestral trauma, living as if, which is a concept that's fascinating to me, and why a lot of people are doing manifesting wrong. So this conversation is really broad. It's really, really deep as well. We get very, very granular with details on how to release some of these thought patterns that might not be serving you. And I just know that she's going to help someone out there break through some old patterns and get into a healthier, happier 2024. So I will put all of her contact info and links in show notes. But in the meantime, enjoy this conversation with Elise Bassine. Okay, everybody, welcome to this episode of We Gotta Talk. I'm really excited about today's guest. You know, I get a lot of pitches sent to me, and the line on this one, the subject line, grabbed me. It said, "Stop trying to fix everything." And I was like, oh, who out there in the universe sees my OCD? It is this woman. It is Elise Bassine. She is a spiritual mentor and breathwork practitioner. And a lot of her work is focused around releasing trauma so that we can allow abundance to enter, specifically as it relates to our work lives. So I'm so excited to welcome Elise to the show. Thank you so, so much for being here. And what a fantastic pitch. I feel like your PR team deserves a big round of applause. That to me, Elise, is something we all need to work on. Just stop trying to fix everything.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And, you know, I do think it's really important to look at things from this lens, especially for everyone in this personal growth and self-development space, because it can end up kind of being like this shadow side of the work where then we just get obsessed with what is the next problem we have to solve or thing that we have to fix so that we can have X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm. What is it about that linear expectation that's wrong? Because there are many things, and motherhood is one of them coming to mind, that aren't linear. Like I used to think, oh, well, if the baby's crying, you do A, B, or C, and it has to be one of those. And I was very shocked to learn that that was my first introduction into the concept. Okay, wait, the world is not linear after all, just because of A does not mean B or C. So I guess we're just programmed to sort of behave that way, do something, expect a result.
Yeah. And also I think it is just we're programmed to look at things linearly and think that, well, if I do this, then this will happen. And that's kind of what we learn in school, right? Like 2 + 2 = 4. And there is a way where that is true, but in so many other areas of life, it's actually not true. And a lot of it is just dependent on the belief systems that we carry and the expectations that we have about what's going to happen. And then I also think the other thing too is people feel pretty uncomfortable with the unknown. So it feels a lot better to be able to control an outcome by saying, okay, well, this is what's going to happen if I do this. So then we can know what to expect, and it makes us feel safe, and it makes us feel like we have control over a situation, which most likely we don't have control over.
Are you sure? I hate that. I don't know. It's just a lifelong unlearning, isn't it? The lack of control.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I wouldn't even think of it that way, because I think once we can kind of zoom out and elevate beyond that perspective, we can start to look at it as this unfolding that's actually miraculous and magical and beautiful once we take away the need for control or the need to know or the expectation around what we think should happen, and then allow, you know, things to unfold in the way that they're meant to happen. That's usually better than we imagined it could be.
You call that divine unfolding, is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Talk a little bit more about that. And there's so much to dig into with that concept in and of itself, but mainly talk about it as it relates to maybe our career paths or our dreams and aspirations, even if it doesn't necessarily relate to making money. We all have this idea of how things should go. So when we lean into divine unfolding, what does that look like?
Well, I think some misconceptions for people are, so for example, when you declare that you want something, right, whether it's an amount of money or something in your business or maybe creating a business or something in your career, what happens is that you automatically are shown or come up against the things that you need to look at or clear or deal with or acknowledge so that you become the version of yourself who gets there, right? And I think that people don't understand what's happening sometimes and can just think that it's not working or it's never going to happen, or, you know, the thing that they want is all the way out here and there's just all this other stuff in front of them that they don't know how to get through. But really, it's actually part of the path. And I think that's where people can get confused. But if we can zoom out and look at all of these things that we have to walk through and look at and acknowledge and heal are just part of the path of you getting to where you desire to go, then even though it doesn't make it easier, or it doesn't mean that we don't feel things or go through things, but we can also hold this higher perspective of this is actually all part of me going to where I desire to go or where I'm meant to go. And then it can give you this knowing that you can walk through life with instead of being confused or feeling like nothing's working out for you.
Yeah. So that could even look like, you know, looking at your recent firing or, I don't know, a demotion or a career deviation or something even not working out. Like maybe you tried to start something or get something going and just trying to look at that as a blessing.
I'm laughing because I have a funny story around that. And it actually is what propelled me into where I am today with my own business. I was a school counselor for 10 years. And before I started my business, and I was working at the same school for 7 years, and I was very comfortable there, right? Like I knew everybody, I knew all the families at the school, all the teachers. I was really good at what I did, and I was just comfortable there, right? Like it was my place. And I, even though I knew at some point I wanted to do something else, I was just comfortable doing what I did. And, you know, even though I wanted to make more money, it was just like, okay, this is easy. I can do this and whatever. So while I was at that job, the second to last year that I was there, I had this crazy thing happen where everyone who I thought I was friends with kind of turned against me and tried to get me fired.
Wait, and it pause. Was so why?
Oh, because they didn't like, no, you can, I can tell you there was various things. I think the main one being that I didn't always follow the rules, meaning like I would put the kids' mental health and their emotional well-being over the school rules. Right. Mm-hmm. And people didn't like that because I didn't follow the rules. And there was like they kind of gathered evidence against me of like, well, she doesn't do this right. And she doesn't follow this rule. And she, you know, so So it was very traumatizing for me because I had never been in a situation where people, you know, didn't like me. I've always been, I get along with everybody. Like I grew up as more of a people pleaser. So this was very traumatizing to me. And I remember it happened right before the summer break, and the whole summer, I was just so upset about it. But what ended up happening is that it ended up being the thing that pushed me to leave that job. And I don't think that if that didn't happen, I would have thought about leaving. I probably would have stayed there for a lot longer, you know? So it was like this, even though it was so traumatic and it was so upsetting for me, and at the time I didn't understand why it was happening, it was actually the catalyst to put me on the path that ended up with me starting my business, you know? So it's one of those things that, like, in the moment, you think it's the worst thing in the world and you don't understand why it's happening, but it's actually the exact thing that's meant to happen.
How did you get past the betrayal? I think sometimes we can accept that things have ended, right? Whether that's a relationship or a professional engagement, but oftentimes it's intertwined with a personal experience with someone in that company or in that job or that experience. And it's hard to extricate the lesson of that job or that position or that experience wasn't meant for me from the person who perpetrated that feeling on you. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because that was the first time that I actually felt that level of betrayal from people, especially because one of them I was very close with, right? Like I thought that this person was my friend. We shared an office. Like it was a level of betrayal that I never experienced before. And it took me a while to get over it. And I feel like as time went on, I was able to just see it as not that this person was like against me or that it was even about me, but I was able to zoom out and see it as, you know, just that she was just acting out a role almost. Like that's how I started to look at it. And it's not like I'm friends with her or want her like in my life or anything like that. So I think, you know, there's that very human level of it where I'm like, okay, we're complete on a friendship level or a level where we ever talk again. But then as time went on, I was just able to look at it from this more neutral perspective and and see it as not that she was personally doing anything to me, but it just was kind of a role she was playing in what was meant to play out for me, you know? So over time, I was able to look at it that way.
Yeah, time probably is like the biggest assist in that. It's hard though, because we just conflate experiences with people. And, you know, I know I've been guilty of trying to sort of like, I don't know, whether it's pull meaning from things that isn't there, or I don't know how to describe it, but there have been situations where I've gone through something and it's hard to like understand the betrayal. But I guess that's just time and processing.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we try to understand it because we think that's going to help us let it go, but it's actually not. So I always talk about this concept when it comes to, you know, clearing familial and ancestral trauma, which is a huge part of my work. There is the part of the journey where we do want to look at why this happened, like why I feel this way, why this happened, and acknowledge it and allow the emotions to be felt and, you know, be in that space where we reconcile it. But then once we do that and then those feelings come up again, sitting in, well, why am I feeling this way or why did this happen actually doesn't do anything for us. It keeps us in that energy of, you know, the anger or the betrayal or whatever it is. That at that point, the practice is, I'm just going to let this go and move on. Because I think as humans, we have this misconception that, well, if we figure out why, then it'll make the pain go away, or it'll make, you know, somehow it'll reconcile the situation. But it's actually not true. Really, what will make everything go away is us letting it go. Not in a sense that you're saying what that person did was okay, but just in a sense of for yourself, you're saying, I'm no longer allowing this to be a lens that I look at the world through.
So that's what you can just repeat to yourself, maybe. Just like, I'm no longer allowing this to control me. I'm no longer allowing. Like, that's one way to kind of get at that. Oh, I think you hit mute. Elise, can you hear me? I see mute on your... There we go.
That was weird. I don't know how that happened.
my gosh, yeah, the universe is trying to silence us. We have, that means we have to get this message out even more. Okay, go ahead.
I know, that was so weird. So yeah, so it becomes what I call a moment to moment practice, right? Where we decide that we're going to be willing and dedicated to shifting the way that we interact and react to the world in each moment that is elevated beyond the way that we used to, right? So again, it's like looking at things through a certain lens and then noticing, oh, you know what? Because I think for a lot of people, if they've been betrayed in their life or they've had people hurt them, they're looking at the world through that lens. So they're looking at the people in their lives as, how are they going to betray me, or how are they going to hurt me, or is this thing that they did their way of trying to hurt me? And it's like, you're always looking at things through that lens. But if you decide to shift that and you decide to elevate beyond that and decide what that is going to feel like or what that is going to look like, then in each moment, it's up to you to decide, okay, I'm going to take off these glasses of people betray me. I'm going to put on new ones that, you know, the universe is supporting me, or everyone around me supports me, or wants what's best for me. And then you start to see the world through that lens and your reality becomes a whole lot different.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, like, no one ever can, you know, you never have a conflict with anyone, but you can also trust that if there's somebody in your life that, you know, needs to go, or your relationship needs to change, you'll know. It's not like you're just gonna, you know, accept everybody if they're not meant to be in your life or they're not a good person for you, right? So it's definitely a hard thing for people to shift, for sure. And that's a lot of the work that I do with people.
Yeah, I can see why. I'm 42 and I think I'm just starting to get a grip on releasing some of that. I don't even know what the word would be. It's like releasing sort of an expectation of how I should be treated. It goes back to the initial sort of theme that we discussed. It's, if I put this much effort in, then surely I will get this much effort back from this person. And it took me a long time to realize that there's no, like, sort of rational, sort of proportional relationship between our output and their output back toward us. And it was hard. And also, I think, having experienced betrayal in various forms of friendship, you know, growing up and as an adult, I almost sometimes at least feel like I bring that back into my world by thinking about it again, or by expecting it. Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, like I said, if it's something that happened to you and you are living in a way that you're trying to prevent it from happening again, then because you are looking at the world through that lens, you end up creating it.
Okay. So again, it's so simple, but it's so hard. So we're just almost repeating things to ourselves. This experience is different, or this person, like, give me that one mantra that we can just put on repeat, something simple that we can do.
Well, you know, the first thing you can ask yourself is, how can I look at this differently?
Like, look at our role in things, for example, like, what was my role in that?
Well, you can, but also you can just look at, like, the situation. Like, how can I look at the situation differently in a way that is actually going to make me feel good versus, you know, make me feel like I'm not safe or I'm in danger or whatever it is, you know? And you can also, one of the things I always teach people is to look for, what is the highest thought in this situation, right? What is the highest perspective? So that's another thing you can ask yourself and you can look at. And then, you know, once you decide, okay, I don't want to look at things this way, you can create your own, like, affirmation or the way that you want to see things. And then you can continue to bring yourself back to that, you know? So, but I think ultimately what it is continuing to practice moving into a higher perspective and seeing the world from like a higher level of consciousness versus looking at it from, you know, how are people going to hurt me, or I have to prevent this from happening, because all of that is a trauma response. And it's not necessarily that you did anything wrong or anyone else did anything wrong. It's just the way that, you know, we've grown up, the way we've been programmed, and what we see everywhere, you know. So it's just about being willing to take kind of all of the stuff that you see and that you're used to thinking and the ways that you're used to looking at the world and just flipping them pretty much completely upside down, which again takes practice.
It seems like it takes a level of like spiritual practice too. How do you get to that 30,000 feet above the ground perspective? What works for you?
Well, there's multiple things, right? And it's evolved for me over time. So, you know, just to, if I'm in a state of, you know, a thought pattern that I know is not a contribution to how I feel or what I want to create, there's multiple things that I will do to immediately get myself out of it. One is just moving my body in any way will really help, even if it's just like walking or even doing the dishes or folding laundry. There's something about idle movement for me that helps me shift. And then also I will listen to things that are in a higher level of consciousness, whether it's a book, channeling, or even my own like breath work sessions or meditations that I create. Sometimes that's actually really helpful for me because it's my own voice speaking to me, which is is helpful. And so anything that can elevate my thinking into a higher state of consciousness. And now that I've been, you know, I've been moving into this place where I channel a lot and I'm able to easily just tune into this higher level information, I can just kind of do that and then receive a higher perspective around it, which has taken practice, right? But there are different tools that you can use that work for you. But I do think it depends on what works for you, right? Because some people, things that work for them wouldn't necessarily work for me, right? Like I have clients who love movement or dancing to shift their energy. That's not what works for me, but it works really well for them. So I think it's really about each person finding what are the things that are going to shift your energy. And also just realizing that you have the ability to do that. You know, you have the ability to shift how you're thinking and how you're seeing the world and the way that you feel in each moment. And I think that's a power that a lot of people don't realize they have and don't utilize it in the way that they potentially could to create faster momentum and more changes in their life.
So when we're hit with an obstacle of some sort, rather than revert into fixing mode or try to sort of counter the negative experience with some positive reaction, what do you suggest some of your clients do? And I know you you're talking a little bit about it here, finding your version of, for lack of a better word, meditation, whether it's movement or time alone or doing tasks around the house. But how else can we, I don't want to say find the shortcut because that sounds like a cheat code, but how else can we remind ourselves to switch out of that fixing mode and begin to connect with that higher version?
Well, first of all, I think it's remembering too that, because I think what happens for people, and I see this happen for people all the time, is that when something happens that isn't what you wanted or what you expected, we can automatically take that thing that happens and allow it to trigger our, what I call your core wound, right? Whether it's I'm not good enough or I'm a failure or there's something wrong with me or I'm not enough, that will happen for a lot of people unconsciously, where, you know, something happens that's, you know, not what they wanted, or whatever, you know, a bill comes in that they weren't expecting, or, you know, they lose a client or whatever it is, it automatically will trigger this feeling of, you know, there's something wrong with me, I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough. So in order to, you know, fix that or make that feeling go away, we think we have to fix this outer situation and make this situation go away or deal with this situation, when really it's the way that we're perceiving it. Because all of a sudden now I'm looking at the world through my I'm not good enough goggles, right? Or I'm looking at the world through the lens of there's something wrong with me. So that situation that happened, we have the ability to look at that in any lens, right? It could be, oh, wow, this, I wonder what this means, or I wonder what the opportunity is here or the invitation is here. You know, I always talk about in my work that any trigger is always an invitation or an opportunity. So if we can look at it like that, then all of a sudden there's this feeling of expanding into possibility of what this could mean, right? As far as, like I was talking about before, the divine unfolding, right? So what if this thing that was happening is actually part of your evolution? It's actually an invitation for you to go to the next level or go to the next step or look at things differently so that you can step into X, Y, or Z, right? Or it's an opportunity for you to step into this next level version of yourself. It's just about the way that you're choosing to look at it, right? So instead of looking at, for example, if there's a client that ends up leaving before they were supposed to leave, we could look at that as, oh, I didn't do enough, or I don't have enough, or now I'm losing this money, or whatever it is. Or we could look at it as, wow, I don't know exactly why this was supposed to happen, but I know that this was meant to happen because it's opening up space for someone else to come in, or it's opening up space for me to show up differently here, or whatever it is. We don't have to know. And that's the thing, from our human perspective, we don't always know why everything is happening in each moment, but we can know that it's happening for us or in service to us in some way that we will find out or understand at some point. And I think that's the piece that can be a little bit clunky for people, especially in the beginning, but we can definitely choose to look at the things that are happening as a contribution to us instead of it meaning I'm not good enough, or there's something wrong with me, or now I need to fix this thing, you know? So it's just, so much of it is really just about how we're choosing to look at the things that are happening in front of us.
Yeah. Wow. I'm hearing so much of just perspective, like that keeps coming back into mind as you're talking and just finding the lesson. And yeah, it's really beautiful that that option exists rather than just sort of toughing it out and being like, oh, well, that sucks. You know, I mean, you can really find the lesson, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And you can also just decide that you're not going to look at it through a lens that is going to bring you into this lower frequency state, right? Of, oh, now there's something wrong with me, or why does this always happen to me, or whatever it is, like, or, oh, nothing's working. Like, these are all things that, you know, we, a lot of us have been programmed to think or feel from our family or ancestrally. And when something happens, those things can get triggered. So it's a matter of just deciding that you're going to shift out of that in each moment and say, okay, I don't have to go into nothing is working, because the more I focus on nothing working, nothing will be working, right? But the more I shift out of that and decide that everything is a contribution to me, then you get more of that. So, you know, I think it's like a you have to make a decision of just how you're going to look at things in each moment and in each situation.
You've referenced ancestral trauma or ancestral responses. How many generations back can that impact us now? Like, how far back in your work have you seen that patterns of ancestors can impact maybe what we're doing today?
Further back than we probably want to think.
No.
The way that I see it from like this very like larger perspective is, we literally on a cellular and energetic level are carrying, you know, everything from our ancestors, the things that they saw, the things that they went through, the decisions that they made, the thoughts that they had. And it's kind of an overwhelming thing to think of because it's so much, but so much of the way that we are responding to things or thinking about things is, you know, a result of just an evolution of consciousness that has gone down the ancestral lines. So it's really important to understand that, especially when we're looking at things through a lens of you know, lack and scarcity or fear or, you know, fear of something terrible happening or fear of death, you know, like we are, our ancestors went through war and, you know, all of the things that have happened on the planet. So it's just important to understand that that is a part of what we're holding on to. And we don't always need to know exactly where it came from, but it's important to understand that it can be a lens that we look at the world through at times, and to notice when it's happening and realize that this actually isn't mine. And I don't have to look at the world in this way. I can actually choose the way I look at the world. And there's a program that I run called Past Lives and Money, where it's specifically for women starting businesses and these things that come up for them, right? Because there's like these very specific things that come up for women who start businesses that are all these like ancestral and past life wounds around being seen and sharing your gifts and being afraid of being ostracized and afraid of people not liking you and all of these things. So there's these very specific things that will come up for people and these very specific ways that we look at the world from an ancestral perspective that a lot of us don't even realize. And we also don't realize that we have the option to look at it differently, right? Based on what we do want now instead of what was handed to us from, you know, down the ancestral lines.
What are your favorite modalities for sort of tapping into and healing that ancestral trauma?
Well, breath work is a huge one, right? So I discovered breath work when I was 19 and I started training in it in my early 20s. So it's something that I've been sharing. You know, I'm 42 also. So I've been doing breath work for more than half my life. And it's a big part of the work that I do with clients. I've created my own type of breath work modality that has to do with the breath, but also, you know, channeling higher perspectives and energy work and healing from the higher realms to assist in moving energy and clearing ancestral trauma. So it's a combination of breath work. And then I also have energy work that I've created to shift all of this stuff. So, you know, over time, as I started to see the same thing with everybody, I just have created more and more tools to help people clear it, mainly around breath work and then different energy work practices that I share with people as well. And then meditations and stuff like that. But a lot of it is moving energy through the breath, because breath work is so powerful because it gives you access to the subconscious mind. So stuff that you wouldn't necessarily even realize you're carrying, or stuff that you're carrying just energetically that you wouldn't realize that you're carrying, the breath can shift and move that without you even having to understand exactly what it is or what's shifting, which is really great about breath work.
Yeah. And you don't have to go into this some like expert and some kind of whatever. I mean, you could just look up. I mean, even I know people go on YouTube and they're like, what's like a 5-minute breath work exercise? You know, like I don't want people to be scared away by this concept that may feel a little bit big or esoteric to them. Like you really can just execute this in a short period of time, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with breath work, it's really one of those things where you can take it as to where you want to take it, right? If you want to just use it as something that you use to fall asleep at night, and that's where you want to start with it, that's great. And you can leave it there, right?
Yeah.
And then you can take it all the way to the point of, you know, having it be a tool that helps you clear these deeper and deeper levels of trauma and these deeper and deeper levels of programming, you know, which is kind of where I take it for people and my certification and all of that is like, there's a depth to it. And there's a big way that it's a huge tool for transformation if you want it to be, but it really just depends on who you are and where you want to take it, you know? And if people did want, I have a free breathwork session people can try if people did want to see what that's like.
Awesome. You talked about this on Instagram recently, and I found it interesting, graduating from the concept of trusting the universe, which is a great basic principle, but you sort of elaborate in this post about moving on to something greater. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean by moving beyond trusting the universe?
Yes. I love this concept, and this is something that has come to me recently, it's kind of this transition from trusting to knowing. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and what I can feel as just what we're moving into this year, just from a spiritual evolution perspective, I think mm-hmm. we're really being invited to evolve spiritually. And to me, this idea of trusting the universe, and again, it's not like there's anything wrong with it. And I feel like people can sometimes put things into like a good or bad, right or wrong kind of thing. And we really want to, you know, not do that and just kind of observe. But to me, trusting the universe is more of like a blind faith almost, for lack of a better word, where it's like, okay, well, I'm just hoping and knowing that things are going to work out and everything's going to be okay, kind of an energy. Whereas knowing is more of, I have this very clear connection with my higher self, with this higher level of consciousness version of me that I can tune into at all times. So I'm living from this place of knowing where, you know, I have this higher perspective. I'm not just sitting here being like, why is this happening? Why is that happening? You know, it's, even though I might not understand everything from my human perspective, I'm in this place of knowing that it's all unfolding in the way that it's meant to. And I am going where I'm meant to go, right? And I have an idea of where that is, but I'm also leaving myself open for the majesty of the universe to unfold in ways that are better than I can imagine. So it's just a different energy. It's more of like an embodied energy of your connection to spirit and moving and living and acting from that place versus mm-hmm. just, okay, well, I'm just going to trust that everything's going to work out.
I've heard it described before as acting as if. Is that kind of the same concept?
It's similar. Yeah. And I think that that can be, I think that that can be really powerful. I also think that that could be misinterpreted for people sometimes too, because yeah, I do think it's really powerful to, you know, I always tell people to tune in with the version of you who is already on the other side of this, or the version of you who's already created this, and feel her energy and talk to her and see what she would tell you. And it's kind of a way for you to connect with this version of you who's already mm-hmm. done the thing that you want to do, you know, so it's a way for you to embody that energy now. And then the more that you can think and act from the place as if you've already done it, or you've already had it, and you already have it, then I think that is kind of what I see acting as if. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, there can be a misconception in that of like, okay, well, I'm just gonna act like this is the thing, but I'm not going to, you know, really embody the version of me who creates that. So I think it has to be both of those things. It's like acting, but also embodying the energy and then moving from that energy.
It's like acting out a role almost, right? I mean, what is it?
It is in a lot of ways. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's like tuning into that version of you and then allowing yourself to kind of merge with that version of you almost, is how I see it.
How much time does it take living mentally, living or being in that space, for that merging to occur? Like, is this something that we should be tuning into on the daily?
I think so, but I also think it depends on what it is that you are moving into. And it also mm-hmm. depends on, because I think what happens is, if there's something that you are wanting to create or something you're wanting to move into, the path is different for everyone. Because like I said, there will be these things that will be presented to you of like, okay, well, this is something you need to look at, or this is something you need to transcend, or this is something you need to acknowledge. So I think the path is different for everyone based on, you know, who they are, what they're dealing with, what they need to move through in order to get there. So I think the timing piece is different for everyone. And I think that's mm-hmm. a place where people can get stuck a lot of like, oh, well, I've been wanting this for so long and it still hasn't happened. And I think that mm-hmm. that's just a place where if we can move beyond the judgment of this idea that we have about time, and then stop judging ourselves for this like arbitrary timeline that we put in place and allow it to unfold in the way that it's meant to, then it takes mm-hmm. that stickiness out of it.
You know what I have found really difficult is figuring out who I even want to be. Like, I have a really good idea of what the next month or 6 months look like as far as like an ideal version of, say, my work life or my professional goals. But everybody's like, you know, vision boarded or put it there. Like, and I spent some time thinking, especially at the beginning of this year, since I did my first ever vision board, and I'm really trying to lean into sort of the visual aspect of manifesting or whatever people call it, hoping or whatever. But I'm like, who do I want to be? And I'm having a hard time landing there. Does that ever come up in the people you work with? It's like, wait, I actually don't know. And how do you figure out what version of you you want to be?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question. And I love that you brought this up, because I actually don't think most people allow themselves to see the bigness of what they actually desire. And I think that that's where you can get stuck, because a lot of people will be in this place, including myself, and this is why I know this, of, well, who am I to want this, or who am I to think that I could have this bigger vision? And I mm-hmm. feel like for me, a lot of the work that I end up doing with the women who especially are in close proximity with me is supporting them in uncovering this bigger mm-hmm. vision that they have for themselves and what it is they're truly meant to do on a much deeper level than they've allowed themselves to fully see or fully recognize or fully connect with, which usually includes a version of what they're meant to bring forward onto the planet that they might be resisting mm-hmm. or that they might be afraid of, because it feels like a whole new level that will bring forward a whole new thing, and it can feel really scary.
That's so hard. I mean, and how long does that take? Because I feel like it's weird. I know that the light at the end of the tunnel, meaning like the person I'm meant to be, I can see the dim glow, but I just can't fully see what she's doing or where she is or what she's wearing. I mean, like, I can't, it's hard to live in the as if I'm like, but wait, what do you encourage people to do to like zero in on that? Is it just time spent alone peacefully? Like, what's
I think
the
it's
road?
Different for everyone. I think for me, one of the things that I like to dive into with my own clients is just illuminating for them the things that I'm seeing that they're not, right, about themselves and their purpose and their path, and also their deeper gifts and what they're meant to do here. So yeah, sometimes I feel like it does take someone else to kind of mirror these things back to you, because we all have blind spots and we all have places that we kind of stop ourselves. So to me, I think that's part of it. And it can be just a place where we allow ourselves to plateau because we don't want to see this like greater version of what we're meant to do for many reasons, right? It can be scary, right? Or it can be like, oh, well, are people going to understand this? Or am I going to lose people? Or is my business going to transform? And how's that going to affect this? And there's so many things that can come up as fears or trepidation around kind of blowing things open to this new level. And, you know, that's where I feel like people can get stuck or just kind of want to stay where they are. So, yeah. So I think it's scary. And there's definitely, it definitely takes a willingness to be uncomfortable for sure.
I love that. Getting with someone else who can reflect back to you or something. That's a good tip. I like that. I wanted to ask you, Elise, what does good manifesting really look like? And good is like a descriptor that I'm like hesitant to use, but you know what I mean? This word is everywhere. Manifest. What does doing it right look like to you?
Well, I want to say this first. I think that one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make, or the biggest things that people don't understand about this, is I think what ends up happening for people is they end up wanting to manifest something from the wrong energy, meaning that they want to do it because, oh, well, if I get this thing, then I'll feel good about myself, or I'll finally be happy when I have this, or, you know, all of my friends are doing this, so if I create this, then I'll feel like I fit in with them, or I'll feel good enough to be around them, or whatever it is. I think you get what I'm saying. So the place that they're manifesting from is coming from a wounded place, or a place where they feel a void, or a place where they feel like there's something wrong with them. It's almost like in order, they're manifesting as a way of fixing, right? And that is not the place you want to be manifesting from, because you're not going to create something that you truly desire based on an idea that there's something wrong with you, or there's something missing. So what you end up, it's going to end up being really hard, or what you end up creating is not going to be exactly what you desire. So I think that's the first step, is being really honest with yourself of, where is this coming from, and why do I actually want to create this? So that's the first thing.
Okay. Understanding the intent behind it, essentially, right?
Exactly. And being really honest with yourself of, like, why do I want this? And do I have this preconceived notion that this is going to make me feel better about myself, or this is going to make me feel good enough, or this is going to finally make me feel like I'm not abandoned or rejected or whatever it is.
Wow. That's so powerful. Asking, like, why you want it. Like, and I would imagine only altruistic things, like, make it through the portal, right? Like, you can't be like, I'm manifesting world power so that you can turn around and be a jerk. It's so that you can bring world peace, right? So the intent, or the intention, I would imagine, has to be pure for you to begin to bring that about, or maybe not.
Well, I don't think it has to, because obviously we all know there's a lot of, like, shitty people out there who've manifested things that are, like, not good people. However, I think that for a lot of people, they'll end up spinning their wheels, or it'll end up kind of being this cycle of, you know, continuing to feel like there's something wrong, or there's something they have to fix, or there's something they have to change. So it can be this, you know, cycle that people get into that doesn't really get them anywhere. So I think that manifestation has to come from a place of being just in the flow, or in the alignment with who you're meant to be, and what it is that you desire, based on your just knowing of what you're meant to do and where you're meant to go. And then allowing yourself to be guided along that path, right? And of course, we can have visions for ourselves of, like, okay, well, I want to, you know, create this thing, create this program, and have this many people in it. But, like, the program is based on what you know you're meant to bring forward onto the planet, from a place of knowing, and from a place of understanding your purpose and your mission. Right. So it's very much, like, aligned with who you know you're meant to be, and what you feel really strongly about in life. So I think there's a difference there. And then from there, it's like allowing yourself to be guided towards that, and also be in a place where you are knowing that it's inevitable, and you're feeling it, and you're just allowing it to unfold in the way that it's supposed to.
Ooh, I love that. Knowing it's inevitable. Writing that one down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta feel it.
Yeah. And it's, like, kind of like this thing for me too, where it's when I tune into my greater vision for myself, when I tune into what it is that I'm meant to do here, there'll be certain things that I see that, you know, if I'm allowing that to come through and allowing that to be the thing that I manifest, and that's coming from this very different place, you know? So I think to me, that's a lot of what it is. And I also think that manifestation just gets to be this natural byproduct of you living from this higher perspective, right? And you living from this higher way of looking at things, where it doesn't have to be so, where you're not putting so much effort into it, you know? And also the other thing too, that I think is, it's not so much about what you're doing. It's just who you're being and the energy that you're holding and how you're perceiving yourself and the world, I think, is way more important than, you know, journaling or anything, any of those outer practices.
This is hitting so hard. So I can remember so many experiences, even as a child, of looking at someone and knowing, oh my gosh, like, even as a kid, you're like, they don't know what they're talking about. Right. And yet you see this person who remains committed to whatever line or belief or whatever version of themselves they're putting into the world. I'm sitting in the shadows being like, but wait, I'm not good enough because I haven't gone to school for this and I haven't studied this and I haven't. And I'm watching this person, for lack of a better phrase, fake it until they make it, and they make it. And I'm like, well, damn, I've been doing it wrong the whole time. I've been waiting for that list of qualifications that someone else will hand me and say, okay, here's your degree. Here's your proof that I didn't need to do that. And I feel like I wasted time, Elise. It really, really gets my goat sometimes. At least I'm getting there now mentally, but it's hard.
Yeah. And also I would never look at it as you've wasted time, because it's all always unfolding the way that it's supposed to. So, it's not wasting time. It's just the time that it takes for us to get to where we're going. And there doesn't have to be a judgment around it.
Yeah. Yeah. One follow-up question before we wrap things up as it relates to manifesting, a roadblock that I've encountered. Some of the things that I want to manifest or to bring forth involve the actions of others, doing something, supporting my work or business in a way that I have no control over. Now, I can show up all day and be the version of myself on my platform and in my work that I believe in. But how do you reconcile bringing in what you want others to do in support of your goals or your mission?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that we focus less on trying to get other people to do something and just allowing yourself to feel what you would feel having that level of support or that thing. Because also, like, the other thing too is then it kind of opens up possibilities for things to come in a different way that you didn't expect. So for example, if you think that you want, this person to do this or support you in this way, there might be another possibility of a way that that could unfold or that result could be created that's different. So it kind of opens up to possibilities instead of thinking it has to happen in this one finite way.
So it is just continuing to embody that and just knowing that it'll draw it to you.
Right. And also being open to possibilities of ways that that result or that feeling could happen that's beyond your perspective or beyond your knowing right now. Because then it like expands you into possibilities versus being like, I have to make this thing happen.
Yeah. I love that. I love that because that was always a big question in my mind. I'm just like dipping my toe into these types of practices. And I'm like, but wait, how do I account for other people's lack of action really that helps? You really can't. No. So you just do what you can control.
You do what you do. And also you open things up to be like, okay, well, there might be some other way. There's definitely another way that is beyond this person doing this thing. And it doesn't mean that person wouldn't be inspired to do that thing. It's just saying that you're kind of opening it up. So it's not just about this one thing.
I love that. Okay. Gosh, I could talk to you for a long time, Elise, and just, I feel like very in a flow and getting, I feel like we're getting amazing information out there, but we do have to wrap. I want to encourage everybody to reach out in a way they feel called to work with you or to get in touch. So can you guide us to some upcoming things you're working on or the best ways to be in touch?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Elise_breathes. And also my website is elisebreathes.com. Like I mentioned, a great way to just like dip your toe into my work is to get my free breathwork session, which you can get on my website or on my Instagram. And then I also have my podcast called Reclaiming Consciousness. That's a great way to connect with me. And then I have my breathwork trauma and energetic certification called the Metamorphosis Method, which is one of the biggest, things that I do. And that's starting in February. If you want to learn how to facilitate transformation from a very deep trauma-informed perspective. So if you're a coach or a healer, this is like the skill set you want to have to be able to create transformation for your clients. So I have that coming up. And then I always have so many things going on. So just follow me on Instagram and follow my stories, and you will see all the things I have going on in my world.
I love it. This conversation has been really enlightening. Elise, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this latest episode of We Gotta Talk. If you don't mind, I would love if you can leave a rating and review. Those help this show to get out to people who might find it useful or entertaining. I'm so grateful for your support. Please follow on Instagram at Sunny Abada or check out our latest blog post at wegottatalk.com/blog. See you next time.